Continue our series that we've been on for a few weeks now that we titled Heroes, and we're going through the Old Testament and taking a look at some of the heroes in the Bible and gleaning from their faith, the way that they worshiped God and the way that they applied it. I may know, and we talk about this a lot, we need to receive the Word of God, meditate on God's Word, then we need to speak God's Word, but then we need to do. Come on, somebody, say do. We got to do what the Word says. And we see this all through the Bible and so many stories in the Old Testament. We've been looking at the life of Abraham for the past 3 weeks. This will be 3 weeks. And we'll see how far we get tonight. But I just want to make a note right here. Next week, Nan is going to be teaching. I talked with her the other day, and something really just, we were talking together. She's going to be teaching out of the book of Esther next Wednesday. So come on Wednesdays. We're going to be on this probably for a couple of months. I was talking to Pastor Bob about this today too, and asked him to really prepare something on Daniel. And we're just really looking deep into the Bible. Wednesday nights, we're going to be on this through winter. And so this will usher in spring. So just looking at some stories in the Old Testament and New Testament, but I think we're going to focus on the New Testament and bring the truths of the New Testament from the Old Testament. How many know the Old Testament just points to the New Testament? It just points to the revelation of Jesus Christ, and every promise, everything spoken in the Old Testament pointed to the Messiah who was to come. All right. Well, tonight, why don't you go ahead and turn with your Bibles. We're going to do a quick review and some foundational scriptures for our series titled Heroes. Read with me, if you will, Hebrews 11:1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith," say faith, "we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." How many know, you just look at the account of creation, God spoke, "Let there be light," and it hasn't stopped ever since. It just keeps going. Just keeps on going. Keeps on going. Galaxy after galaxy after galaxy after galaxy after galaxy after galaxy after galaxy. I'll tell you, it's just amazing. Amazing. But see, the Word of God is what spoke those things into being. And so you and I need to be in a habit of speaking God's Word, believing God's Word, and seeing the Word of God give life to our situation. It says in Hebrews 12, "Therefore," he says, "we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." See, faith strips off every weight. And how does it do that? Because it says here that Jesus is the author and the finisher, the Alpha and the Omega. He right now has made us right with God. How many know that? By the grace of God, we have been right, been made right with God. And so now you and I can strip off every weight, the sin that besets us, run the race with endurance, and focus on Jesus. So you mess up, you just get your eyes back on Jesus, right? You know, you don't beat yourself up. We need to be seeking those things in heaven where Christ is seated. And that's really what this series is all about. Because you'll see, even through the life of Abraham, Abraham had a revelation. He had problems like you and me. And that's why I like looking at some of these characters in the Old Testament, because they had to live life just like we do. But he had a revelation of grace. And grace is powerful. Grace will really allow faith to work. I really believe that true biblical faith cannot work without grace. If we don't have grace on ourselves, grace toward others, and live in grace, faith really, I don't believe, can work. I mean, you see so many people, I think, that you, how many know you can accomplish things by really being ambitious? And Abraham was an ambitious person. We've looked at him for a couple of weeks. The blessing of God was on his life, but there were some things that he had to learn through the process. How many know life is a process? How many are finding that out? You know, but aren't you glad that Jesus is the author and the finisher, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? He has taken care of it so that we now can live by faith. All right? Now, we've been looking at Abraham. Let's read together Genesis 12:1. I want to take a look at what God first spoke to Abraham. And I like doing reviews because it gets down in our spirit. And then we'll look at a new aspect tonight that will really bless you. He says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you." I mean, no, if somebody treats you bad, you don't have to worry about it. Come on. You just bless them. Bless them and do good. Come on. Amen. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And if they don't do good to you, God will get them. Come on. All right. It's true. He will bless those who bless us, curse those who curse us. And in the families, and you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And this is really a covenant that God is making with Abraham that is based on Jesus Christ, pointing towards the covenant that we now have because Jesus has now come. All right? But it was spoken to Abram, I should say, and it was his desire to bless you and I so we can bless others. And it all starts here. God makes a covenant with Abram. We took a look at how Abram rescues his brother's son, Lot, receives blessings from the victory, builds an altar in worship. And you'll see this tonight even. The thing we've got to realize, if you're going to live by faith, you have got to be a person, listen carefully, who's in the habit of building an altar. You have got to be a worshiper. I don't believe we can really receive grace without being a worshiper. Because if not, our walk will be based on works. If we don't take time to just worship God and get into grace, we are not going to be built up on faith. Again, ambition and faith can really kind of cross-connect and be really can run along with each other. But we need to have faith, and it comes through worship. And Abram was a worshiper. Now, we looked last week how Abram and Sarai tried to help God out. And she said, you know what, God's made a promise that he's going to bless us and give us children, but I'm barren and can't have any. So she says, so here, take my handmaiden Hagar. All right, remember we looked at this last week? Just a quick review. And they did it, and that's where Ishmael come from. See, you and I sometimes try to help God out. How many know it is not good to help God out? But you know, God remains faithful in our weakness. God remains faithful in our mistakes. And I think more than anything I get out of this story in that particular part is that even if we mess up, how many know God is not done? No, I don't care how bad you messed up. I don't care how big a failure it was. Now, there's things we got to reap because we sowed them. But, you know, God is bigger than your problem. How many know that? God is bigger than your mistake. God is bigger than your weakness. God is bigger than whatever you're facing that is negative right now because he has made you an overcomer. Now, it says here in Genesis 17, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him, and he said, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. I want to stop there a second, because there's grace. Walk before me and be blameless. Say grace. That is a picture of grace. We walk before God blameless. Again, doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you're going to do. Jesus forgives your sins, past, present, and future. Amen? That's settled. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. Again, you see worship here, building an altar. Abram falls on his face, and he worships there, and God talks to him. How many know when you're, how many through this fast are having some revelation? How many as we're fasting, you're falling before God? I just today I had one song. I could not get off this one song. I'm working, and I'd be coming back to that song, and I'd go back to that song, and I'd go back to that, and I'd play that song, and I'd just start to cry. Listen, you and I have got to be in a habit of doing that. You may say, well, that's easy. You're a pastor. No, I did this before I was a pastor, all right? And I've shared some of those stories from this pulpit. I'm thinking of one particular story right now. I had praise and worship music, playing every chance I could. People thought I was crazy. Come on. But who do you think they came to when they wanted answers? Who do you think they came to when they wanted some prayer? Who do you think they came to when they wanted to have a Bible study in the place we worked? Come on. The guy who worships. The guy who worships. Genesis 17:5, it says, no longer will your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Now, this is where we ended last week, is where Abraham's name is changed from Abram to Abraham. And Abram means father. Abraham means father of multitudes. We've got to understand that God wants nothing more than increase in your life. Say increase. Say more. Say more. That's the covenant that we have, all right? How many know Jesus said, the things that I do, you'll do greater because I go to my Father? Simple. More. Say more. So the kingdom of heaven, God wants to increase us. Genesis 17:15, it says, then God said to Abraham, for your wife Sarai, You shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be your name, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Sarai means captain or keeper. Again, we ended here last week. Sarah means princess or lady. I wanted to repeat that tonight because that is a good word for you ladies. Princess or, you know, how many know a captain or a keeper working, gathering, taking care of business? Come on, somebody. But God says, yeah, it's good to take care of things, but he wants to take you to the next level, and the next level is princess, lady in the kingdom. I tell you, God wants to take care of you, ladies. Now, your husbands need to help. Come on, somebody. And all the married women said,
amen.
That was pretty. And all the married women said what?
Amen.
All right, so, but still, God wants to take care of you. If you're single and a woman, God wants to take care of you. He calls you princess, lady. But the thing is, has God changed your name? Since you've been a believer, don't answer too quickly. You think about this. Has God changed your name? Have you had a revelation of what God wants to do in your life? And this should be ongoing, by the way. This doesn't happen once and it's over. All right? If you're still trying to live off the revelation you got 20, 30 years ago, listen, it's dry. It's dry. Now, you can believe promises that God has made 20, 30 years ago, but bring them into now. Come on, somebody. Now faith is. It's for today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of decision. And God wants to work in today, in the now, for you and I. And so we need to have a revelation. Allow God to take us and give us a picture, a glimpse, if you will, of what it is he has for our lives. And we get this out of the story of Abraham. And when we have the plan that God has given us, do we continue to pursue it? Do we continue to pursue it? So here it brings us up to speed here. God has changed the name of Abraham and Sarah. He has blessed them. He has given them a son. They name him Isaac. After they have the son, comes a time for testing. Now, some of us are familiar with this story, but I want to look at some aspects here because it's going to help us. How many know when you believe God for something, there is going to be a test? Help me out. There is going to be a test. Come on, somebody. You know, every year, you know, Trish and I, we finish up the year, and really we start, when do we get away? September? Is that when we get away? In September, October, start to look ahead to the next year, and we plan our things, goals that we have personally, goals that we have for the church, and those kinds of things. And then 2013 happens, and then we start to plant those goals. And every time you start out, you know, God will speak to us. And this year he said, you know, like every year, God calls us to give more than we gave the year before. And so we do that. And this year he called us not only to do that, but to pay some extra things on top of that. And we said, yes, sir. And now we get into this fast and we start to implement that. And we start to do these things and we're giving more. How many know there is a time for testing? Come on, there just is. Maybe it's a relational issue with you. I don't know. There's going to be a time for testing. Listen, see, maybe God has said, look, I'm going to set you free in this relationship struggle that you've got. But then that person gets worse. Come on, somebody help me. Come on, remember, we wrestle not with flesh and blood? All right? Just giving you, you know, opportunity for a test. But we need to apply what God has spoken to us and continue to move forward. And we need to be kind of people like Abraham that could say, okay, God, bring that test on. Say, bring it on. All right, read with me. Well, Genesis 22, it says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abram and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Listen, when the time of testing comes, can you say, here I am, Lord. Let's go. You're like, oh, not again. Come on, Michelle. You know, you're like, not again. I mean, come on. You know, but you know what? If we just say, here I am, Father, go ahead, test me. Bring me through the fire. It will not burn me. Bring me through the waters. I will not drown. All right, there's a time of testing. But in that time of testing is really where the fruit starts to be produced in our lives. Without the testing, there'll be no fruit. I mean, it's simple. John 15, Jesus said, abide in me, and my word abides in you. Whatever you ask will be done for you. But then he talks about that those who abide will be pruned. It's just some different terminology, but it's the same principle. There is going to be testing. Matter of fact, I can't talk about this without reading a portion of Scripture out of the book of James. Let's look at this together. James 1, 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy. Say joy.
Joy.
When you fall into various trials or tests, you can say, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But let patience have her or its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, the goal is for God to get you perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It would do us well when a test comes to say, I'm becoming perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That test comes, you know, and it may not be easy. Come on, but we got to be honest. If you're going to endure the test and come out refined, then we've got to say, okay, when the test comes, I'm becoming perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. But what happens so much of the time is we get a test and we turn the other way and we run. Come on. It's true. You say, oh, God, not again. No, I'm becoming perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, how many know we need help? He says, let him ask of God who gives to all. What does he give us? Wisdom. It's one of the things as this church, the four things that we believe in is the wisdom of God's word. Worship, wisdom, reaching out to others, the word of God, all right? Wisdom is really, really important, okay? So God will give us wisdom. Let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded or double-souled man, unstable in all of his ways. Okay? Now, listen, we've talked about before, you can have faith and sense fear. All right? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. But you say, look, even if I feel some fear, I know God's promise says this, therefore I will walk by faith and I will overcome that fear. Are you with me? All right? And so what's happening here is, what he's saying is not to doubt. It doesn't mean that you may feel like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. Even though my flesh is weak, how many know it is? Jesus prayed that in the garden. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. He said, Lord, if you can, let this cup depart. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will, what, be done? Jesus prayed that. All right? Doesn't mean that your flesh can't feel weak, but you're not double-minded. You're not double-souled. Romans 12, be renewed by your mind. What does it say? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, perfect, acceptable will of God. That's what you're not going to be double-souled. You may feel like, oh boy. But that's why fasting is so good, because we learn how to hear God's voice. And we just say, yes, sir, I'm ready for the test. I'm becoming perfect, complete, lacking nothing. He goes on in verse 19 here and talks about the qualities that you and I need in trials. Let's glean some stuff from here. It says this in verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man and woman be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. See, when we're hearers only and we don't act in faith, remember, faith is receiving the word, meditating on it, believing it, speaking it, and then doing what it says. Obedience is part of it. We'll talk a little bit about obedience here in a minute. He says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. When you only hear the word and don't act on it, you are deceiving yourselves. And so many times we'll hear a principle in God's word, and then we don't act accordingly, or we start to walk in it, and we quit. And we just say, well, it doesn't work. Well, God's word doesn't work for me. I know pastor said this, but it doesn't work. You are deceiving yourself when you live that way. You are deceiving yourself. All right? He says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now, any of you who are maybe 50 or above, you can relate to this. You get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you think, who is that? My goodness. I mean, how many know? Your spirit just gets renewed and renewed. I've talked to so many people that have talked to precious saints of God when they're older, 80s, 90s. And they say, you know, my body is getting old, but on the inside, I feel younger than I've ever felt. All right? But you look in the mirror, you see yourself, and you go about your day, and you're feeling good, and you're working. You go use the restroom, and you look in the mirror and say, well, that ain't the guy I've been spending all day with. But the Bible says that if you just look in the mirror and walk away and don't do Then you're just like a person who looks in the mirror and forgets what kind of person he is. All right? So the thing is here, it says that we should be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Matter of fact, I want to look at a scripture, not in my notes, but I'll give you time to look it up here, Aaron. If you would look up, how about Ephesians 4? Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. I want to talk a little bit just about anger. Anger can ruin your faith. Anger, now you can feel angry, but don't stay there. Help me out, somebody. Ephesians 4, 26. This is the New Living Testament. Ephesians 4, 26, NLT. He says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. All right? You can feel anger, but let me know you have a renewed mind, therefore you don't live out of that anger. Does that make sense? Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Do you know that when you allow yourself to live out of anger, you are helping the devil ruin your life? Awful quiet in here. When you give way to anger, you are helping the devil ruin your life. You say, well, it's kind of like just giving him a leg up or a hand up. So let me help you up here. Let me help you out. So how many know it's good to not let the sun go down on our anger? He says, brethren, every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear what God would say. Remember this started, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it and not hold back. So God will give us wisdom. We receive his wisdom, and then we get angry, and we say, okay, I know anger is not of God, therefore I'm not going to live according to that. Even though I feel angry, I'm not going to live out of that anger. I'm going to live out of the word of God because it is transforming me. All right? Does that make sense? And you just live that way. You live that way. You live that way. Let's go on. Let's get back to our story. Let's get back to Abraham. Remember, this is testing. Say testing. How many just love pop quizzes when you were in school? You show up and teacher say, pop quiz today. You're like, oh my gosh, your palms get all sweaty. You know, it's even worse. Pop test. You got to have an oral pop test. You got to stand up in front of the, how many just say, come on, good night. You know, you got to get a, but there's going to be tests, right? There's going to be a test when you least expect it. There's going to be, and that's why you got to be prepared. You might be sitting here tonight and thinking, oh, Pastor Tony, this is just boring me. Oh, Pastor Tony, this doesn't apply. Listen, if you don't take this tonight in the midst of your easy time, you are going to wish you did when all hell is breaking loose. Come on. And when all hell's breaking loose, you're going to try to call Pastor Tony or somebody else, and the phone's going to be busy. We're going to get the answering machine. I know, because I get messages. Help! Now, you can call me. Okay, we want to help. But it's just amazing. So many times you get people. I mean, we get this all the time, don't we, Trish? People call, help, this is happening, that's happening, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, you know, you took 30 years getting here. Come on. Right? Right? I don't care what it is. It could be any kind. But, oh, this happened. You don't know they're going to be doing this, and they're going to do that, and this and that, and the other thing. And it's like, wait a minute. This didn't just happen yesterday. But we've been to church, and we heard messages like this, and we filed our fingers, our fingernails. We clipped our fingernails. You say, how do you know? We see them on the floor. That's when I call Pastor Bob. I say, you got to get in here and vacuum. All right. So we can either check in or check out. The choice is ours. And if you don't need this today, you will need it tomorrow. I guarantee you. Say, how do you know, Pastor Tony? Because I'm almost 54 years old. That's why. All right. Don't have everything figured out, but I've been walking with the Lord for, what, 23 years. And one thing I found out, you need this because everything changes. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, say word, will endure. The word is important. So if you don't think you need it now, you're wrong because you do need it, and you're really going to need it tomorrow. All right. It's all right. All right, let's take a look at this test. Genesis 22:2. Then he said, take now your son, here comes the test, your only son, Isaac. Now we know, this is the blessing. God promised him a son in his old age. All right? Right? At 100 years old, him and Sarah have a child. And all you thinking, oh my gosh. Is you ain't even done raising them till they're 20 or 30. Come on now. You know, different levels and stuff, but come on, you know it's true. You know? All right. It says, take your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. What a test, huh? What a test. The son that was promised, and now God tests him. And let's see, what can we glean from this? First of all, I want to ask some questions. Am I willing to lay down that one thing? If you want to live the life of faith, if you want to live like Abraham, if you want to be a worshiper that allows grace to start to work into your fiber, you have got to be willing to lay down that one thing. That one thing. I remember when Jesus called the disciples. He would call them and he'd say, leave, follow me. Leave, follow me. So he said, leave your job right now. You were fishing. Now I'm going to make you fish as a man. Leave your job. Follow me. One time a guy says, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus said, well, foxes have holes to live in, but I don't even know where I'm going to lay your head. That didn't mean that Jesus was poor. Okay, let's just say that right there. It meant that Jesus was an itinerant preacher. He was an evangelist. I mean, he did all kinds of different things, but he didn't care where he was going to spend the night because he was going to preach the gospel. He was saying, will you leave that one thing, your comfort? It doesn't say that guy came to follow him. Hello, somebody. All right? Another one says, I will go with you. I will follow you. He says, but first let me bury my mom and dad. Jesus looks at him and says, let the dead bury their dead. You follow me. Doesn't say he followed him. Well, maybe he did, but he doesn't say he did. Am I willing to lay down that one thing? Am I willing to lay? God maybe blessed you, got you this great job. You've been saying, boy, when I get that job, then I'm really going to give to church. Then you get that job. How many know every time you drive by that car lot, that nice shiny car is yelling out at you, buy me. Come on. Right? Maybe cars aren't your thing. Maybe it's clothes. I don't know. Shoes. Yeah, Trisha, shoes. How many women like shoes? Holy smokes. How many guys have like one or two pair of shoes? And then a pair of boots, good boots. That's it. There you go. Three. There you go. Now that don't work for women. They got boots that really, they're really not even boots. They just look nice. This is what amazes men. Let me just say this for a minute. It amazes men that a woman can buy a pair of shoes because they're really cute, wear them, and take another pair of shoes because the other pair of shoes are more comfortable than the really cute ones. Good night. Well, yeah. But am I willing to lay down that one thing? That thing that God gave me. Will I lay it down? Will I lay it down? Have I counted all things loss so that I can gain Christ? Would I surrender based solely on God's word? Would I surrender all based on the promise? Would I surrender that very thing that I treasure that he gave me? I'm reminded, we're not going to look at it tonight. We'll look at it in the future when we look at Elijah, or Elisha, I should say. And there's a woman who he gives a son to, and her son dies. The same principle there. But she continues to say, it is well. It is well. Would I follow without a multi-point plan? Would I follow God without all the things in place that have to make sense? He says, go and offer a sacrifice to Mount Moriah, and there offer a sacrifice to me on the mountain that I will show you. You got to be willing to go first. You got to be willing to go first. Listen to this, Moriah. You want to know what that means? How many want to know what Moriah means? How many want to know? All right. Well, you're going to find out whether you want to know or not. Here's what it means. It means to look or stare with joy into the face of Yah or Jehovah, Jehovah. It means to look or stare with joy Consider it all joy as you fall into diverse trials. Come on, somebody. To look or stare, worship with joy. Jehovah. Yahweh. When I'm in the midst of my trial, will I look at God and worship Him and lay everything else down so that I can draw nearer to Him and say, Lord, I don't care about any of this. What I want is You. I want more of You. Say more. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. We will come back to you. Now, how many know God said, I want you to go and offer your only son, Isaac? But what does Abraham say here? We're going to go and worship, and we will come back. I mean, no, you can give up what you have when you know that God will restore. Come on. It's true. Matter of fact, look at this. If you can look this up, Aaron, Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. I want to read it out of the Message Bible if we've got that available. All right. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19 out of the Message Bible. Listen to what it says. It says, by faith, Abraham, at the time of testing, offered Isaac back to God. Acting in faith, oh, I love this, he was ready to return the promised son, his only son, that one thing, as he had been told, or as he had been, his only son, as he had been to receive him, and this after he had already been told, your descendants shall come from Isaac. Abraham figured that if God wanted to, he could raise the dead in a sense. That's what happened when he received Isaac back alive from off the altar. If you want to live by faith like Abraham did, you've got to realize that whatever you lay down, God will raise it back from the dead. And whenever God raises things back from the dead, come on, somebody, they're always better. How many know, before Jesus died and then rose again, how many know, you never see anywhere in the Bible that Jesus walks through walls until after he rises from the dead. Come on, somebody. He walked through walls. Jesus levitated. Levitated all the way up to heaven. Never did that before that. He walked on water, yeah. Say, well, he could have, Pastor Tony. Well, he didn't. How many know Jesus said, I'm going to be alive forever. He had a flesh and blood body that would never perish. How many know that's better? Say better. See, if you realize that whatever you lay down, God will not only give it back to you, but he will give it back to you with increase, you'd be able to tithe. I mean, tithe ain't nothing. Abraham got that a long time ago. Long time ago. We looked at that a couple weeks ago. Matter of fact, the first time you see the principle of tithing is with Abraham. It's Abraham chose to tithe. Right? But if we could get past that and realize that God would bring it back manifold times, whatever it is, that's just money. Money ain't nothing. Money's where it starts. Really? It's the truth. All right. Let me just say this. Do you expect provision and increase beyond what you have in your hands right now? Listen, what you do with what you have in your hands answers that question. We'll read those two again. Do I expect provision and increase beyond what I have in my hands now? What I do with that answers the question. As you can say yes all day long, but what you, remember, we are doers of the word. Am I willing to lay down everything? Genesis 22, 6. So Abraham took the wood off the burnt offering and he laid it on Isaac, his son, or the wood of the burnt offering. It says, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Verse 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and he said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb? Yikes. How many know Isaac was pretty sharp here? Okay, come on. He said, where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide. Do you see that? God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Let me just put this in here. When you live a life of faith, the people closest to you follow you. I've had so many people, just please hear my heart in this. I've had so many people over the years come and say, well, you know, if the church would just do this, this and that, and then the other thing, my kids would be all right. They'd serve God. No, they wouldn't. No. Now, the church should do things. So we'll have children's ministry. We have youth ministry. We're trying to improve things all the time. You could have the largest youth group. I've seen it. Largest youth group. Great music. Great drama. Those kids go off to college. They don't ever serve God again. Now, you can have children walk away from the Lord, but 9 times out of 10, in my experience, and I believe it to be true, it's because we weren't practicing at home. And our kids said, well, you know, you go to church, but you don't live it. Why should I? Yeah. Yeah. You don't think it's true? I tell you, our kids, I thank God for our children. I'm just going to brag on them. The things that they have gone through, if you could have followed us around for the past 20 years and see what our kids have had to endure, all right? And you've probably been through some bad things too. We just have our own experience. Small youth group, big, we have served at 4 different churches all through the life of our kids, all right? Small youth group, large youth group, pastor leaves. You know, that can be hard on kids, right? But it happens all the time, unfortunately. It does. Moving over here, moving over there, people saying things. And then you have the added pressure of, well, you're the pastor's kid. How come you ain't perfect? But they serve God. They don't serve God because I'm perfect. They serve God because Trisha's perfect. There's times they'd be saying, where's the wood? But I'm following. There's times they face trials, right? Our youngest is 19 almost. Other two are in their 20s. Our daughter and son-in-law just moving into their first house, getting ready to buy their first house. You have challenges you face. Things don't always work out. They've been praying. Trying to close on a house. Things don't always work. I may know, Kevin, you're in the real estate business. I mean, it never is like, is this normal? Oh, yeah. You ain't seen normal till you're in real estate. All right? How many know you could feel like, God, where's the wood? Right? But they serve God not because we're perfect. It had nothing to do with us. It has to do with the fact that they know God is faithful because in all the adversity, all the trials that they've seen us go through, they know that God always brings us out smelling like a rose. And it's not the cologne we're wearing. All right? Matter of fact, does my faith speak to others? I want to look at another scripture here. Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Verse 19. Genesis 18, verse 19. Do I have that here? Let me see here. Just put that up there. I won't read it. Listen to what it says. It's about Abraham. It says, I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised. One translation says, I know Abraham that he will command his children. Listen, we got to get it working at home. It's not enough to just go to church. It's not enough to just say, uh-huh, amen, uh-huh, shake a little bit, lift our hands. You got to have it working at home. You got to have it working. Don't mean you're going to be perfect. How many know only Jesus is perfect? But am I confident that God will provide? Oh, my goodness. Are we late? I got to stop right there. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Oh, my goodness, you guys are listening long tonight. I pray for every person here tonight, every person that hears this message, even on the internet, Father, that you would impart faith. I pray, Lord God, that we would be more than conquerors, that we would face everything with the attitude of grace, humility, and faith in the living God. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not even asking you if you've ever been to church. I'm asking you if you know tonight that you're born again on your way to heaven. And if you have any doubt whatsoever, then you need to pray this prayer with us. Because tonight, by praying this prayer, you can know that you're on your way to heaven. And I've got some information that I'll give you that will show you what the Bible says about making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. So if you're here tonight and you have any doubt whatsoever, this prayer is for you. If you're sitting there and saying, well, I don't know. I think I prayed a prayer when I was little or prayed a prayer here, but I don't know right now. I'm not sure. That prayer is for you tonight, and I want to make sure you get this information, and I want to pray with you before you leave. Hardly a service ever goes that we don't pray for somebody. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand with every head bowed, every eye closed, just between you and God. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand so we can give you the information I mentioned on the count of three. Say, I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven, Pastor. One, two, three. Lift your hand up quick. I see that hand. Anybody else? Lift it up high. Lift it up high. Everybody just keep your heads bowed for a moment. Young man who lifted your hand, would you look at me? I'm so proud of you. That is a great decision. That is going to change the rest of your life completely. I've got my friend Mark here who's bringing something to you. I want you to take that home. Read what's on the inside with your Bible. There's a card on the inside, though. If you'd fill that out and turn it in before you leave at the information center, I want to pray for you by name. But what I want to do now is I want to lead you in a prayer, and we're all going to pray it with you. So would you pray with me? All right, let's pray. Everybody, repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I ask you to forgive my sin, as I'm a sinner. I need your help. Thank you for forgiving me, setting me up high, allowing me to spend eternity with you. I'm going to serve you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. I am so proud of you. That is a great decision. I commend you tonight. Awesome.